The biggest moments in the games.
Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
The biggest voices in sports.
They crowned their ass, but they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
The heartbreak.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God! It's picked off at the goal line! It's picked off by Gus Butler. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word.
The celebrations.
Driving forward, diving to the goal line. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Look at Brady. One more ring.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Damn straight, disembodied voice. It is the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Thursday, June 12th, 2025. And we'll start with the Pacers rallying to down the Thunder in Game 3. The Pacers take a series lead in Game 3 over to Oklahoma City Thunder. Your final 116-107. Pacers entered the fourth quarter trailing by 5 points. They didn't want to be outscoring the Thunder 32-18 in that fourth. Benedict Mathurin, one of your heroes off of the bench, he scored a game-high 27 points. Haliburton just short of a triple-double, 22 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds. Pacers, like I said, now lead 2-1 in a best-of-7. And OKC's side, Jalen Williams, he had 26 points in the losing effort. It was probably one of the sloppiest games the Thunder have played all postseason. So let's hear from both Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Williams. Tyrese Haliburton responding to the analysts always picking the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Jalen Williams saying they're not going to panic.
The commentary is always going to be what it is. You know, most of the time, the talking heads on the major platforms, I couldn't care less, honestly. Like, what do they really know about basketball? I mean, at a time like this, I'm not really on social media as much. I try to stay off it as much as I can, but, you know, you see it, and, you know, ESPN might be on in my house, and there it is, and you know, it is what it is, but I think just seeing where I can be better is the most important thing.
We've been in that exact same kind of predicament. This game three was a better game three than the ones we've had, so we'll take that and run with it. But yeah, I mean, it's very pivotal. Obviously, you know, you don't like being down in a series, but we have been here before, so we'll use that experience and work to get better from it.
It's going to be very interesting to see how the Thunder respond. When you are down 2-1 on the road, that is your back against the wall time. That is when you got to throw everything at this. You cannot go down 3-1. If you do, I mean, you go back home, okay, you win, yeah. But you cannot go down 3-1. The Pacers definitely would have a leg up. So expect a very... Not desperate, but close. Thunder team on Friday night. As far as Haliburton, you know, calling out the talking heads. Of course, one of those talking heads responded in Stephen A. Smith. And I do want to get into why that is the number one issue the NBA might be facing in terms of its coverage. The league needs to have TV partners that put the league above themselves. And we may enjoy watching it some of it, but the TV partners feel like they're bigger than the league. And that needs to change for this league to thrive. So we'll get into that a little bit more later tonight.
And we won't have to wait too long to figure out what's going on because the Pacers will host the Thunder in Game 4 in Indy tomorrow night. Let's go to New York. They had the plan in mind, and that was to fire their head coach and Tom Thibodeau. After that, I don't think there was a plan in sight other than ask everyone who has a head coach, hey, how committed are you to said guy? This is courtesy of the Roommates podcast, Jalen Brunson. He spoke about Tibbs being fired and he had some kind words to say, I guess.
But yeah, this is my first firing. I've known him my entire life, but I remember like having conversations and moments with him when I was in eighth grade when we moved to Chicago. And just to see like where we are now, like helping become two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA. The things he's done for me, like, obviously, individually, I'm so grateful for. Just because, like, he had that confidence in me that, like, I knew I had. But, like, it's great to see someone, like, push you to be better. Like, obviously, I have my dad, and he believes in me more than anyone. But, like, to have Tibbs and to do what he did for my career, like, I'm just so grateful and thankful for.
I haven't thought about this from a Knicks player perspective. It's one thing to have us comment about, hey, the Knicks are, they're leaving no stone unturned. Like, how great of them, you know, the people that are defending them calling essentially every coach to say, hey, you want to leave your wife for me? But what are the players thinking? The players, maybe some of them wanted to move on from Thibodeau. Maybe some didn't. But they can't be enamored with the fact that there is very little semblance of a plan. And the longer it goes on, do you end up hiring a guy just because, okay, this is getting ridiculous, we need to hire a guy? Or are you going to hire a guy that it really is the right case, right time? You can only take so many no's before you wonder if you got the right guy to begin with. So I wonder what those guys are thinking, not of the firing of Thibodeau, but more so the process of replacing Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they do at this point, but it's them versus them, because everybody else has got their head coach, and there are no other vacancies, you know, unless there's a surprise firing tomorrow, who knows, and maybe the Knicks will jump on that guy. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the NFL. I actually sent you this earlier in the day. It's a very interesting story. The Bengals' 17th overall pick, so that's obviously their first rounder. They selected Shamar Stewart. And turns out he's left minicamp. Now, he's the only rookie, first-round rookie, rather, that remains unsigned. There is a contract dispute. It's basically the amount of guaranteed money that he's trying to secure for himself versus what the Bengals are willing to pay. I thought these contracts were pretty standard, but he's left minicamp. So here's Zach Taylor, his, I guess, for now head coach on Shamar Stewart not showing up.
I think for all the rookies, you'd like them to be on the field, but certainly there's things that happen over the course of an NFL career, and this is one of them right now. So he's been in the meetings. He's been positive in that way. He's been learning. He's been a good learner. And we look forward to getting him back on the field quickly.
I don't know that he could be thrilled with what his front office is up to, Zach Taylor. Look, the Bengals have a reputation for trying to nickel and dime every one of their players. But then they gave Joe Burrow a bunch of money. And then they gave his receivers a bunch of money after Joe Burrow said, give them a bunch of money. And he thought, could it be? Could they have changed? And then they're right back to trying to re-change the wording in these rookie contracts where they want to have the ability to void some guarantees in case there's an injury or something happens. And it's just never happened before, and Shamar Stewart doesn't want to be the guinea pig for it. So he says, I don't need to deal with this. I'm out. You're already dealing with Trey Hendrickson. You draft a guy to not replace, but essentially bolster that side of the ball in that position. And now you're screwing him around as well. At the end of the day, will these all get resolved? With 31 other teams, I'd probably say, yeah. But the Bengals seem to like the fight. So we'll see how these things materialize, but there's no reason that this needed to happen in the way that it did with Shamar Stewart.
You know what team we haven't talked a lot about, which is a real shame considering they're going to win the division? That's the Los Angeles Chargers. The reason why they're going to win the division, because the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs, so that'll help out. The Broncos will get one of those wild cards, and the aforementioned Bengals, I think, will figure it out, get another wild card. But speaking of the Chargers specifically, they get a reunion with outside linebacker Khalil Mack. Now, why is this significant? Well, because we know who Khalil Mack is, and also, he was mulling retirement. He also looked around at a couple of options across the league and see, hey, you know, where could I go? But ultimately, he decided the Chargers was the best fit despite the money, I mean, other than the money. So the Chargers and Khalil Mack will reunite for another one-year deal. Here he is talking about going back to L.A.
It's just that feeling. You know, you're chasing that feeling of wanting to win up important games deep in the season. And so, yeah, being that I haven't reached that point yet. I couldn't give up on that dream and that goal for myself and for this franchise.
I still think the Chargers are not quite in that first tier. I think they're working their way up to that. So if you're on this team this year, that doesn't really mean you're going to be a part of the team that eventually can win a Super Bowl. They could surprise. They're continuing to tinker with their lineup, but they need a better postseason performance, too, out of Justin Herbert. A lot of interceptions last year was not good. They're going to need that. Because I agree, they're going to make the postseason, but they got to compete with the big dogs, and to have your big dog, your quarterback, Justin Herbert, turn into a turnover machine, that's not good on that side of the football. So big things expected for the Chargers here with this Harbaugh era. Could this year be a year of bigger things? We'll know in a few months.
All right, last one here. Let's go to Buffalo Orchard Park. Everyone's favorite darling rookie last year because of the Macy's press conference that he had, Keon Coleman. We were waiting for him to blow up in fantasy circles. It didn't quite happen. Here he is saying he admitted as much. He was trash last year.
You want to know exactly what I see? When that's trash, you got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. So if Jimbo break it, he up the sideline. Just different things like that. Calling out everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
Well, I mean, my fantasy GM team would probably agree a little bit, but
me too. I picked and dropped him three times.
It's nice to look at your own tape, maybe a little self-scout, and you can't have the coaches say anything worse than that when that's what you're saying about yourself. So that's a Bart Winkler strategy. I'm good at making fun of myself first, so that when your words say it, it doesn't hurt me as much. Strategy doesn't really work. I'm a little baby anyway.